itong inawit natin ay angkop na paalala sa atin dito sa ating pinag-aaralan. Itong month of October, we are using this as Reformation Month. At ginagamit natin ito para magpaalala ng mga konsepto, katuruan, at mga paniniwala na tinaguyod noong panahon ng Reformation, which was in the 16th century. And the reason why we are using October is because it began on the day that Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses on his church door on Wittenberg, Germany. And it was on October 31, 1517. Kaya karaniwan ang October ay inaalala as Reformation Month. So, sa mga nakaraang taon, pinag-aralan natin yung mga bagay na magandang itaguyod pa rin natin para sa Reformation at sa ating Reformed Theology. But this year, itong October, ay tinitingnan natin yung kabaligtaran, the mistakes, and the yung mga errors of the Reformers and the Reformation. And in so doing, we are saying that we are looking at the Reformers as channels only. Sila yung mga daluyan. At ginamit sila ng Panginoon, hindi natin tinatanggihan, subalit ginamit sila bilang kasangkapan, hindi tayo dapat nakatingin sa kanila bilang mga idolo natin. We are looking at them as good models, yet channels only. And as channels only, it is an encouragement to us that men like them could be used, and that encourages us that God can still use us despite the facts that like them, we are vulnerable to errors and to mistakes. So, tinignan natin yung mga kamalian nila, yung unang-una, yung kanilang mga sigalot at pagkakahati-hati na nangyari nung panahong yun. Sana mas marami silang na-accomplish if they were more united than they were. And yet, they were still used by God in spite of their division and conflict. And then last week, tinignan natin yung bagay na pinagpatuloy nila na kamalian even before them. And that was the state being the chief partner ng church. Sa Biblia, sa Bagong Tipan, hindi pinagsama yan, hindi pinagtambal ang estado at ang simbahan. Pero dahil sa panahon ni Constantine na ipagpatuloy sa medieval age, and when the Reformation ensued, hindi nila tinanggal yung pagkakatambal ng estado at ng simbahan, at ang nangyari ay patuloy na pag-uusig na pinagpatuloy ng mga Reformers. And that was a mistake, a terrible, tragic mistake that we should not perpetuate today. Well, ngayon, ang titingnan natin yung personalidad mismo ng mga Reformers, and I'm using the title Vessels of Clay. Sila ay mga sisidlan na marupok. In their personalities, they were men of weakness and even sins, yet the Lord still used them. And again, channels only. Sila yung mga daluyan na kinasangkapan ng Panginoon. So as we will be looking at the personalities of the Reformation, they were vessels of clay. Inaalala natin yung sinabi ng 2 Corinthians 4:7, "We have this treasure," referring to the gospel, "we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." Yung yaman na ito ay inilagay ng Diyos sa mga marupok ng mga sisidlan. Hindi yung mga ginintuan, kundi mga earthen, yung mga gilyari lang sa putik. Pero ang nasa loob noon ay yaman ng Panginoon. Ganyan yung ginamit na larawan ni Pablo patungkol sa kanyang sarili, at masasabi natin yan sa ating sarili din. At ang dahilan yan ay upang ang the excellence of the power, yung kagandahan ng kapangyarihan, ay maitutok lamang sa ating Diyos. At yun sana ang mangyari sa atin. Pero let us begin by trying to understand the vulnerabilities of the men of the Reformation. One thing that we should not forget ay the Reformers were frail and sinful men, and yet they were still used by God. But in trying to understand, sa pag-uunawa natin ng kanilang karupukan, dalawang bagay muna yung alalahanin natin. Unang-una, the Reformers were children of their time, which means they shared the biases and the cultural flaws of their time. Huwag nating kalimutan na kagaya rin natin, sila ay mga tao ng kanilang panahon. Ang ibig sabihin, kung ano yung kanilang panahon, karaniwan yung normal ng panahon na yun ay ganun din sa kanila. Tanda natin, 16th century ito. Wala pa yung development ng ibang mga bagay na normal na sa atin ngayon, pero they were children of their time. And tayo man ay children tayo. Ibig sabihin, hindi natin nalalaman, dala-dala rin natin yung mga kultura natin. Naikwento ko na sa inyo noon yung naranasan ko, paano ko nagkaroon ng self-discovery ng akin ding culture. You know, I'm critical, much of the Filipino culture, I'm critical of it. Pero hindi ko nalaman kung gaano ako apektado rin ng aking kultura until I went abroad. My first time was 1988. I've been abroad several times since then, but you never forget your first time. So, yung first time ko, London, 1988. So, pagdating ko ron, there were still 3 days before school time. So, tatlo kaming Pilipino. Ay, syempre, London. Ano bang gagawin mo? Mamasyal. So, for the first time we went out, pagdating namin sa street ng crossing, ay nakita namin red, don't walk. So, maraming tao yun. Everybody stopped. I mean, everybody except 3 creatures. Ano bang red light sa Pilipino? Hindi ko alam yun. Basta hindi kami nag-usap o huwag tayong sumunod dyan. It's just instinct to all of us, to the 3 of us. When everybody stopped, eh, wala namang sasakyan. And by virtue of Filipino culture, we just walk. At sinigawan kami ng mga tao. Saan bang lupalop galing tong tatlong to? And then pagdating namin sa bus stop, again, no discussion among us, just plain Filipino culture. Pagdating ng bus stop, hindi namin nakita may pila pala. Basta pagdating ng bus, unahan kami, sampa. Itinula kami ng konduktor. Kaya malaking kayo yan. But that was my self-discovery na no matter how critical I thought I was of my culture, I was still a child of my culture. And that's my point, na pag maging critical tayo sa mga reformers, huwag natin kalimutan, they were children of their culture. Yung daladala nila, yung mentalidad, yung kultura ng kanilang panahon. Kaya huwag tayo masyadong critical. Remember that they were being sincere, but sincere in a way that were children of their culture. So they carry the flaws and the defects of their time. So we must not be too quick to condemn without the context of their history. Ang isang example na to, nakita na natin last week. During that time, the persecution of heretics was simply expected. Eh tayo ngayon, critical na tayo rin, alam nating mali. Pero nung panahon nila, ay talagang yun ang expected. Para kang nagko-compromise ng truth kapag hindi mo usigin yung mga heretics ng iyong lipunan. Kaya yung pagpatay kay Servetus sa atin ay talagang napakamali. Pero that was what was expected then. So ginawa nila sincerely, but of course wrongly. But because they were children of their culture and of their time. So yun ang isang unahin na ating isipin. Ikalawa, tandaan din natin that the reformers were in fact conscious of their sinfulness and confessed the same very humbly. They were aware of their sinfulness. In fact, John Calvin, when he wrote his last will, eh punong-puno ito ng self-confession. Sa halip na magmalaki siya ng kanyang mga ginawa, which were tremendous, but hindi yung kanyang mga accomplishment ang nakalagay sa kanyang last will, kundi confession ng kanyang mga kakulangan. Eh, mapapahiya ka pag binasa mo yung kinoconfess niyang ginamit yung mga salitang katamaran. Ha? Katamaran? But they were conscious of their sinfulness, of their weaknesses, and they confessed it. And this is in stark contrast with the arrogance and pride of our present generation. Wala ang ganitong self-confession tayong makikita ngayon. So, we can say that it is true, it is equally true to say that the reformers were used by God because of who they were, but also in spite of what they were. So, parehong totoo yan. Yung kanilang karakter ay kinasangkapan ng Panginoon, pero masasabi rin natin na kinasangkapan sila ng Panginoon sa kabila ng kanilang karakter, in spite of what they were. And the result is that the glory belongs to the Lord. So yan ang isipin natin when we think of the characters of these reformers. Ang tututukan lang natin ngayon ay yung tinatawag kong the Twin Towers of the Reformation. Hindi natin pwedeng tutukan lahat ng mga reformers, but tutukan natin syempre yung pinakadalawang dakila na ginamit nung panahon ng Reformation, Martin Luther and John Calvin. I can say of the other reformers, pinag-aralan ko rin yung kanilang buhay, pero itong dalawa yung tingnan natin, yung karupukan ng kanilang personalidad na sa kabila noon, kinasangkapan pa rin sila ng Panginoon. So first of all, Martin Luther, I call him the weak man behind the mighty fortress. Diba? Si Martin Luther ang may akda nung a mighty fortress is our God, a great hymn. And yet behind that great hymn was a weak man, and weak in many ways. At gusto kong tutukan ito in the following facts. First is the physical infirmity of Martin Luther. Remember, Martin Luther, when he was still an Augustinian monk, naggawa siya ng napakaraming fasting at iba-ibang mga pahirap ng kanyang katawan sa kanyang pag-asa na makuha niya yung kaluguran ng Diyos. He wanted to please God. He thought that was the way for the way of salvation. And of course, it wasn't that. However, yung mga ginawa niyang pahirap sa sarili, nagkaroon ng later effects sa kanyang katawan, and he was full of physical infirmities. He had iba't ibang mga sakit, gallstone, he had dizzy spells and buzzing in the ear, at insomnia. Nagsisimpatay sa koron. He had a lot of physical infirmities, and there were times when he would stop preaching in the middle because there would be buzzing in his ears. Hindi ko alam kung anong medical term doon, pero yun ang kanyang naging kalagayan. During visitation of plagues, tawag natin ngayon epidemics, nung panahon yun ay plagues, kapag dumarating yun, tandaan natin, walang mga mabisa pang gamot noon, not even aspirin. Kaya pag dumating yung pain, talagang iindahin yan. Walang pain reliever na meron tayo ngayon. Walang antibiotics. So, yet, when plagues visited the place where Martin Luther was, he refused to abandon the place. He would minister as a pastor to his people. And so, makikita natin yung both the admirable trait of Martin Luther, but at the same time, the vulnerability of the man. He had plenty of physical infirmities. In fact, one of his worst years was 1527. Napakarami niyang sakit, karamdaman. And yet, in the year 1527, that was the year he composed A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. So, makikita natin kung paanong sa panahon ng kanyang kahinaan, ay tumitingin siya talaga sa kanyang Diyos. So despite infirmity, Martin Luther was one of the most productive labors of not only of all the reformers, probably of all time. One of the productive labors, naalala ko when I studied sa London Theological Seminary, yung aming library, ay merong works of Martin Luther, and he had 57 volumes of a thick book na mataas, makapal, 57 volumes of souls were by Martin Luther. At a time that there were no computers, no typewriter, etc., yet yun ang kanyang production. So talagang masipag ang taong to sa kabila ng kanyang mga kahinaang pangkatawan. Ibalik natin sa ating sarili, kung minsan konting puyat, konting karamdaman, may excuse na tayo, wag nating gawin yung dapat gawin. The reformers did not think that way. They gave themselves to labor in spite of their physical infirmity, and Martin Luther had plenty. And because of those physical infirmity, naging kakabit na rin ito ay yung tinatawag na emotional melancholy. Yan ang tawag nila noon, we would call today depression or depressive manic. Madalas siyang magkaroon ng depression. Well, this was because, remember, Martin Luther at this point, at least during the early years of the Reformation, he was looked up to as the leader of the Reformation. And usually, when you're in a position of leadership, kasama niyan is loneliness. You are lonely in the sense that you bear many things alone. You cannot share it as a leader. And Martin Luther, therefore, often had spells of depression. At pag siya'y na-depressed, talagang it's a black day for him. He was a lonely man. And kapag depressed, you often make regrettable decisions. And one such regrettable decision by Martin Luther was when he was so annoyed with his people, yung kanyang church, and he told them so, and he decided to have what we would call today a strike. He refused to preach for a while sa kanyang church. Nais po, gawin ko kaya yun. It's a regrettable decision, but you can sense kung gaano siya ka-depressed at that time in the year 1530 when he felt nothing was moving as he wanted to. Eh, dahil nga si Martin Luther, nakita na natin even in the previous studies, yung kanyang personality was one that was really yung gusto niya sumulong agad yung Reformation, and the people doon sa pews won't be like that. And at one point nga, he was so depressed and he made a strike which was regrettable. But that reflects yung uri ng depression na sinasuffer ni Martin Luther. Well, one blessing that Martin Luther had in times of depression was his wife, Katie. Catherine was once a nun na iniwan yung kanyang pagkamadre nung siya'y ma-reform. Kaya in that sense, pareho sila. Martin Luther was a monk na iniwan yung kanyang pagiging monk when he was converted. Well, Catherine von Bora ay dating nun na iniwan naman yung kanyang pagiging madre nung siya'y ma-convert. Nagtagpo sila ni Martin Luther, and according to their confession, it wasn't love that brought them together, but they decided to be together. But once married, they were in love with each other and stuck together through thick and thin. Isang ginawa minsan ni Catherine na asawa ni Martin Luther, when Luther was in one of his depression spells, yung talagang mabigat na depression, Catherine wore a mourning dress, yung pagluluksa. And so Martin asked her, "Who died?" And Catherine said, "As I looked at you, I thought God died." And Martin Luther, of course, reacted, "Of course God cannot die." And he began to preach, and in the process, preach himself out of depression. Pero yung wisdom ng kanyang asawa is a malaking factor. Siguro one of these days, maybe next year, I'll talk about the women of the Reformation. Malaking papel ang ginawa ng mga asawa ng mga reformers na kadalasan na itatago because of the public figure ng mga reformers themselves. So Catherine was played a big role in the stability of a depressive manic that Martin Luther was. Ang ikatlo, at ito yung talagang matindi kay Martin Luther na kanyang weakness, he suffered personal eccentricity. He was plagued with extremes of personality. Martin Luther admitted so. He said, "I cannot deny that I am more vehement than I should be." And one time also, he admitted to his wife that he could be angry at the smallest things. What a shameful thing. Yan ang sinabi niya. So, ganyan si Martin Luther. He suffered from personal eccentricity. His language could be unrefined, coarse, and intemperate. I read some by way of preparation, and I cannot tell them to you. They are unprintable. Very coarse language that he would use in public and sometimes in print, not only against Catholics, against the popes, sometimes against fellow reformers. And in the process, marami siyang naging kaaway. It created unnecessary relational animosity with other reformers. He called some reformers like Ulrich Zwingli, matapos yung kanilang Marburg Colloquy, which we studied sa first Sunday, tinawag niya siya na motivated by Satan. And many such unwelcome and uncalled for language ay nanggaling dito kay Martin Luther. At napaka marami siyang masamang mga nasabi. Well, his dearest friend, Melanchthon, of course, knew about that and tried to correct him sometimes. And Melanchthon, nare-rebuke din siya kung minsan ni Martin Luther. And when Martin Luther died, Melanchthon gave the defense that this was a time that called for a violent physician. So, yan ang tawag niya kay Martin Luther. He was a violent but physician. Manggagamot na kailangan siguro yung pumipiglas na pasyente, kailangan ng medyo mabagsik na manggagamot. Yan ang tinawag niya kay Martin Luther. He admitted that Martin Luther said things that should not have been said. And pero ganyan si Martin Luther. In fact, ang sinabi niya sa kanyang sarili, I am God's court jester. Alam niyo yung court jester? So, wala na tayo niyan ngayon. Yung court jester noon sa court ng isang royalty, meron doong ang papel lang niya ay maging sarcastic para lang wag masyadong seryoso yung mga meetings. Ang papel niya ay magsabi ng mga humor na sometimes coarse, and that's how Martin Luther said his role was. He was God's court jester in a very serious time, and so he used language that was not right, one of the most damaging in fact, which would have impact on future generations, were his anti-Semitic words, yung anti-Jewish language. Now, again, dalhin natin to sa panahong yun. Siguro may mga foreigner tayo na medyo, at least in the early times, not much so today, pero naalala ko nung bata ako, pinalaki kami sa medyo may anti-Chinese sentiment. Yung mga panahon na yun. Well, itong panahon ng 17th century, 16th century, ay merong anti-Jewish sentiment. Kasi yung mga Jews ang mga masisipag, sila yung mayaman, kaya medyo may anti-Jewish sentiment ng panahon na yon. And Martin Luther said things against Jews that were regrettable, sometimes calling for mistreatment of the Jews. Well, again, wrong, but the flow of his time. What's sad is that somebody would take him on some 400 years later. Adolf Hitler, his fellow German. Fellow German Adolf Hitler would take seriously the anti-Jewish words of Martin Luther. And so what would happen? Yung mga sentiment lang ni Martin Luther, isinakatuparan ni Adolf Hitler. Ano nangyari? 6 million Jews perished in the Second World War. At sinisi ni Adolf Hitler itong mga Jews na siyang pasimuno sa lahat ng mali sa European race, and he wanted their extermination. So, what was just a sentiment 400 years earlier became a reality when somebody took the words of Martin Luther seriously. So, very tragic, but that's what happens when you use wrong language. At ito'y gamitin nating paalala. If Martin Luther, with his zeal, joined that zeal to a tongue seasoned with salt, what greater effectiveness could have been the result kay Martin Luther? Ang sabi ng Colossians 4:6, let your speech be seasoned with salt. At itong matutuhan natin dito, mga kapatid, na kahit pa tayo ay lumalaban sa kamalian, at tumalaban sa mga bulaang guro, kasama yan sa ating gawain, kasama yan in my calling as preacher, I must expose false teachings. I must expose false teachers. But in the process, isang matutuhan natin sa maling nangyari kay Martin Luther ay, even when we do that, do it with speech seasoned with salt. Huwag tayong maging malupit sa ating language. Even when you have to expose false teachings, even when you have to contend with false teachers, which I have to do a lot, you must use fair and gentle language. And sometimes God can use that even to win. Yung kalaban, yung kinokontend natin, maaaring gamitin pa yung maamong pangungusap. And I know cases when the person, while espousing false views, was won over not so much by the logic of the language but by the gentleness of the language. Kaya huwag tayong maging malupit sa ating lengguahe when we are dealing with contentions. Maging sa isa't isa at sa maging sa mga kalaban ng pananampalataya. So Martin Luther, that excessive personality, could have been a lot more effective if he had been more refined in his language. But even then, with all the unrefined personality that he was a giant in the kingdom of God. Let's proceed to John Calvin. Itong si John Calvin, ang itatawag ko naman sa kanya ay the strong man whose strength became his weakness. Again, there are just two things I want to say of John Calvin. His restless exertion turned to sickliness. Ito yung si John Calvin pursued an almost non-stop occupation. And as a result, his body wasted. Kung maraming infirmity itong si Martin Luther, doble si John Calvin. And he would preach several times a week. He would write almost ongoing, non-stop. At kung maraming volume si Martin Luther, baka doble pa si John Calvin. So that was how prodigious the labor of John Calvin was. But as a result, not taking any rest, it turned to sickliness. And he died relatively early, at the age of 55 or 56. Isipin niyo kung gaano pa karami yung kanyang ma-accomplish sana if his life was prolonged. And yet, because of constant labor, ito ang nangyari kay John Calvin. What more could he have accomplished? Well, one thing we should learn here, and especially when we are zealous for the kingdom of the Lord, stewardship of the body includes needed rest and care. One of the most touching scenes in the Gospels ay itong Mark 6 and verse 31, kung saan sinabi rito ng ating Panginoon sa kanyang mga alagad. Mark 6:31, and he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." So verse 30 ay pinakita rin yung marami nilang trabaho, and yet in the midst of that, it was Jesus who saw their need to rest. So sa gitna ng mga trabaho, hindi sinabi ng Panginoon, tapusin niyo yan. Now remember this, and this is something I need to learn myself. Our God is not a slave driver. Hindi siya Diyos na inaasahan niyang pigain ang kanyang lingkod sa trabaho. Ang Diyos mismo ang nakakatalos ng pangangailangan natin ng kapahingahan. So take a rest. Itong si John Calvin, at least once a year, ay nagkaroon ng a month sabbatical na hindi muna siya ang nagtrabaho, but there was nothing known of any vacation taken by John Calvin throughout his 22 or 23 years in Geneva. Sa kanyang ministeryo doon ay tuloy-tuloy. And any machine na ituloy-tuloy mo nang walang pahinga, it will conk out at a certain point. And that's what happened to John Calvin. So his strength, which was his zeal, became his weakness. Ikalawa, his relentless erudition, which means learning, tended to stubbornness. Perhaps John Calvin was the greatest scholar of his time. And by scholar, I mean he could read Hebrew, Greek, he understood Latin, and when he searched scriptures, he studied the original. In fact, when he preached, he carried to his pulpit the original languages, not the Latin or the common language ng mga tao. Hindi naman siya nagpipreach in Greek. But he would read the original and then speak the common language of his audience. That's how erudite, that's how learned John Calvin was. At nabasa niya lahat ng church fathers, lahat ng mga mahalagang resources at that time. And when he would debate with people who contended with him, he would quote sources that his contender have never heard about. Eh, paano ka makikipagtaan sa ganun? Pero because of that, John Calvin tended to be stubborn with his views. Parang hindi siya makapakinig ng kabilang panig. At again, that resulted in some imbalance. Nakita na natin to at one time, the way he treated the radical reformers, including Anabaptists, he swept them together, which was wrong. Dahil nakita natin, there were good radical reformers. There were good Anabaptists, meaning they were evangelical, such as Balthasar Hubmaier. They were good evangelicals, although they did not believe in the union of church and state, and they believed in believers' baptism. Well, for John Calvin, he swept them all together as fanatics. And that was his imbalance. But that's because of his learning, he tended to be stubborn. And again, ang matutuhan natin dito, with more balance, there could have been more expansion of the Reformation. And yet, these were the men God used during the Reformation. And that reminds us of what the Apostle Paul himself said, that your faith should not stand in the power of men, but in the power of God. So itong alalahanin natin sa mga taong ito na kinasangkapan ng Panginoon, kinasangkapan sila talaga, we honor them, and yet they were men of frailty. They were men of vulnerabilities and of sin. And therefore, one thing that I hope we are able to accomplish dito sa series na ito, ay we still honor the reformers and the Reformation, and yet we do not look at them as idols. They were men of their time. They were men with frailties and sins, yet God used them. And what an encouragement sa atin. Ang encouragement dito sa atin ay nakakasangkapan pala ng Panginoon kahit yung mga ganong taong may karupukan. Huwag nating i-dismiss naman, minsan we tend to dismiss people who we see weaknesses. Nakikita natin yung kanilang flaws. Sometimes I'm tempted to even doubt a person's Christian profession kapag nakarinig ako ng bad language. Well, I need to remember, pagdating sa bad language, Martin Luther ay pasimuno sa bad language, but God used him. So, when we deal with other Christians and we see their flaws, huwag nating i-dismiss sila. God can still use even men of flaws as He used the reformers in a mighty way despite their flaws. So, they were vessels of clay so that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Any question? Anything you like to clarify or perhaps testify?
Once a pastor's wife told me, Tess, you don't love the one you marry, but you don't marry the one you love, but love the one you marry. Sabi niyang ganun. So, ngayon ko lang narinig yung kay Martin Luther's case sa kani Catherine, and excited about Catherine.
Hindi naman ganun ang case mo. Biro lang. Biro lang. But it's true. Remember, love is a duty within marriage. Of course, the ideal is we marry the one we love. But once married, it becomes your duty to love. Other questions? Glenn. Well, may ganun na siyang personality, and meron siyang book na Table Talks. At doon may mga sinabi siya tungkol sa kanyang childhood days, and he was raised at a time that raising children was thought to be done in a very strict fashion. So yung personality ni Martin Luther is already there even before he was converted, yung excess. Pero minsan ginagamit yung excess na yon, pero madalas ay nagiging dahilan ng regrettable consequences. Pero as he aged, again, ito'y sinabi rin, inamin din niya, sinabi ng mga malapit sa kanya, as he aged, there was a growing crankiness on his personality. Yung madali siya naging bugnutin, magalitin, because as the Reformation was expanding, he thought there were also many who were not following yung kanyang position. Instead of becoming Lutheran, many were becoming Reformed. And he was quite disappointed by that. So as he aged, there was a growing crankiness in his personality, as testified by people close to him. Jim.
In the case of John Calvin, was it possible to keep or maintain balance? Kasi yung the nature of mental work seems that it requires more time than manual work. So parang nakikita ko na it's but natural to really, yung sa case niya na exert niya yung so much effort, mental effort, and then use much of his time studying. Kasi parang yun yung nature nun eh. Hindi ko pa rin maisip kung posible na makip yung balance. But I know somewhere.
It's actually a mystery to me myself. To keep the balance ng time, I must confess I fall on the side of too much occupation, restlessness. But I need to look at this from the biblical standpoint na stewardship of the body means you give it proper rest and refreshing so that it can be used more. Kaya nga, walang duda na isang ikinaaga ng pagkamatay ni John Calvin ay wala siyang pahinga sa kanyang katawan. At least Martin Luther, yung mga physical infirmity niya, yet he had times of rest. There was a time na pinilit siya forcibly na mag-spend over a period of time hidden in a castle. So there were forced times of rest para kay Martin Luther, not so with John Calvin. So sa atin, we need to look at this in a balanced way na may mga bagay na tumatawag ng ating attention to study. And I myself know that. I have to prepare for the church, for GMA, and conference bukas. May mga dapat isulat. So I know about that, but I need to bear in mind. And sometimes that's all I could do, just bear in mind and fail to practice. But this is where the weakness of John Calvin came to be. So siguro it must be practice natin yung stewardship of the body, which includes rest. Other questions? Other thoughts? Choi?
Pastor, curious lang ako dito kila Martin Luther and John Calvin. Na-mention mo na maraming books, volumes silang naisulat. Are they married ba? Married ba sila?
Yes.
Kasi para bang yung time nila ay nabuhos na lang dun sa years lang. Martin,
in fact, Martin Luther's wife survived him. John Calvin was married, but the marriage only lasted 10 years. His wife died, and after that, John Calvin never married again. Although he had children, they both have children. In fact, Martin Luther, yung kanyang firstborn, pinangalanan niyang Hans Luther. Although both of them suffered bereavement of some of their children, pero yes, they were married. Is that surprising? Glenn.
Curious na ako doon sa ginamit ni Adolf Hitler yung comment ni Martin Luther. During that time ba, very significant ba yung ginamit niya yon na maraming Kristiyanong na hinkayat na i-persecute ang mga Jews? Or is that una-quote lang niya yon tapos marami din Kristiyanong hindi sumama or maraming sumama talaga?
Ito isang lang sinabi ni Luther, that safe conduct on the highways be abolished completely for the Jews. All cash and treasure of silver and gold be taken from them. So, he did say quite cruel words against the Jews. So, yun ang mga ilan niyang sinabi. Adolf Hitler, when he was imprisoned after yung kanyang so-called beer putsch of 1920s, doon sa kulungan, ang ginamit yung panahon niya na magbasa, nabasa niya si Luther. At kung bakit naman yung nabasa niya kay Luther, yung kanyang mga anti-Jewish comments, which affirmed what already was the anti-Jewish feelings of Adolf Hitler. So, you see here, yung words printed, sana kung sinabi na lang yun ni Martin Luther orally, at may nakarinig lang na iba, but the tragic thing is he put them in print, and so it perpetuated for generations. And who would anticipate that an Adolf Hitler would read it hundreds of years later and take him seriously? Jim.
Pastor, follow up dun sa question ni Glenn. Why did Martin Luther have that anti-Semitic stance? Anong saan nagro-root yun?
Well, again, as I said, let's bring this to their time. There was already widespread anti-Jewish sentiment in the 15th, 16th centuries. Among other reasons is because the Jews prospered. Kumbaga rin sa maalala nyo sa Indonesia, there was a public riot na matagal, 1990s, when Suharto was nung siya'y mapatalsik. And ang mga talagang pinahirapan doon ay yung mga Chinese Indonesians. There was anti-Chinese sentiment in Indonesia because Chinese were prospering. Well, parang ganyan ang sentimiento sa mga Jews sa Europa during this period. And yung anti-Jewish sentiment na yon na malawak na, ilagay mo sa isang excessive personality kagaya ni Martin Luther. So what was anti-Jewish sentiment was put into words by Martin Luther, regrettably.
Pastor, hindi ba siya na-impluensyahan nung letter ni Paul na to the Romans ba yun, or to Corinth, na he has this heart for his people?
Well, there was ambivalence dito kay Martin Luther because he also attacked Catholics because of their treatment of the Jews as if they were dogs. So may mga ganyan siyang lingwahe na may dapat na tamang pagtrato sa mga Jews. But when he is taken over by his vehement personality, lumalabas yung mga words na anti-Jewish sentiment. So siguro ang masasabi natin, during his better thinking, he would reflect the biblical spirit. But when he allowed his vehement spirit to take over, which is often, doon pumapasok yung lingwahe na hindi nararapat. Which is a warning to us, be watchful of your language. At kung maaari, if you are in a vehement spirit, don't put it into words. Other thoughts? So warning sa atin talaga yun. Dito tayo madalas mababagsak sa language natin. James warned us against that. He warned against people who use their tongue to bless God and yet in the next breath curse their fellow men. It happened to Martin Luther. He was a man God used to bless him, bless many, and yet at the same time used his tongue to curse others. Other thoughts? Ike.
Ang nagustuhan ko po dito sa series na to is parang binabalansin niya yung ano eh, yung pagkakalam natin kila Martin Luther, kila John Calvin. I was trying to study yung life din ng dalawang to pero hindi ko pa nababasa lahat. Kasi minsan yung mga Kristiyano, they thought itong mga pillars ng Christianity, itong mga taong ito, parang hindi na makabasag pinggan. Ano, but learning how their lives was, where, parang nalilinawan tayo na it's not na mahirap na tayo magkaroon ng influensya rin or maging ministeryo ng Panginoon as in our walk. Meaning, ang point ko lang po dito is, tama yon, we should, yung sinasabi natin si Martin Luther was iba yung mga language niya. I myself, masyado may initin ang ulo ko, pero by God's grace, nakokontrol po. Pero yun nga, reminder pa rin sa atin na in this current generation, which is more chaotic, more perverse, kahit despite the presence of yung mga high-tech everything, parang mas mabilis masisira yung pangalan ng Panginoon if you don't become more careful. So, nababalansin niya talaga yung ano, during those times, wala pa mga internet, wala pa typewriter. Yeah. But right now, if you make foul language in one text message, Kristiyano ba yan? Ito sinasabi niyan.
Exactly.
Yun lang po.
Yeah, and it's also one of my goals sa series na ito na mabalansa yung ating pananaw sa mga reformers. Hinahangaan natin sila. There's no greater admirer of the reformers than the way I admire them. Yet, I also have a very balanced view because I have read their lives, both from the perspective of admirers, their contemporaries, and their enemies. And you'll get a balanced view in such a way na hahangaan mo pa rin sila paano sila kinasangkapan ng Panginoon, pero meron kang pananaw na realistic that these were men who had feet of clay. At warning nga sa atin, kung yung katulad ni Martin Luther, yung naging masamang impluensya ay umabot ng hundreds of years after, yung generations later, imagine what your words can do when you are not watchful of them. So yung text, printed, video, baka mapunta sa YouTube, ay mahirap na. Any other thought? Kaya dalawa yung bagay dito, wag natin silang hangaan to the point na we are blind to their weaknesses. On the other hand, we do not dismiss them because of their weaknesses. Because God certainly used them for all the frailty and the vulnerabilities of these men. They were used by God. And ang punto nga dito, what an encouragement to us. Sometimes we dismiss ourselves or dismiss others na kinakikitaan natin ang kahinaan, karupukan, at parang iniisip natin, paano kakasangkapanin ng Panginoon yan? O paano ako kakasangkapanin ng Panginoon? Ganito ako. God is a gracious God. And that includes using even vessels of clay. So any last thoughts? Glenn?
Siguro magandang reminder din sa atin ito, especially naalala ko ng si Ate Tina. Yung pagmamember ng church na minsan akala mo ay very pious yung mga members or pag mga Kristiyano, we should be, alam natin nga yung mga great men nga very fragile sila, lalo para kaya tayong mga ordinary Christians. So, hindi tayo titingin sa mga tao, hindi tayo madaling mag-stumble sa mga tao, kundi ang Panginoon tayo tumingin.
Exactly, and that's Psalm 146. We do not put our trust in man whose arm is flesh. Hindi tayo naglalagak ng ating tiwala, yung pagtitiwalang para sa Diyos, hindi natin ilalagak sa tao na ang bisig ay laman. Ibig sabihin, ultimately, fragile. Kaya pag nakakatakot dito ay kapag nakatingin sa tao, and this is what I fear for preachers like me, is when people's trust or dependence is on men, and they see a weakness, and they certainly will see one. Not only one, two, three, four, five, six, many. When they see a weakness or even a fall, mawala rin yung kanilang trust. Yan ang sinasabi ni Paul sa 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that your faith should not be in the power of men, but in the power of God. So don't look at the preacher, don't look at the channel. They are channels only. look at the Lord who uses graciously even weak channels. Meron ba? Jojo.
Pastor, gaano katagal nabuo yung book na Bandage of Will? At paano nabuo yung ganun?
Maganda Bandage po. Of the Will. It's one of the masterpieces of Martin Luther, and in fact, one that he thought himself to be one of the most important he has made. He completed it in a matter of weeks because he was answering Erasmus. Si Erasmus, may ginawang diatribe na book. At maraming umaasa na sasagutin ito ni Martin Luther, pero si Martin Luther, dinidismiss lang niya. Pero nung nagmamalaki na itong si Erasmus na hindi makasagot si Luther, eh, sumagot si Luther. I think he finished it in less than a month, yung Bandage of the Will na yon. At kung mabasahin mo yung language niya sa Bandage of the Will, it's a very good theological book but interspersed with very personal characterization of Erasmus. So isang ano yun, classic Luther, very theological with very personal attacks. And in fact, as I said kanina, some of those I cannot tell you. They were printed, but they should have remained unprintable. Follow up? Meron pa? But again, God used Luther. Such a man, and yet God used him. And dapat ang conclusion natin dito, my own conclusion studying this man, of course, kagaya ng marami, as a young man, I studied them, and usually kapag pinag-aralan mo sila, you get a biography of a very blinded biographer na puro yung mga magaganda ang sinasabi. And I began with complete admiration of this man until I began searching more widely, and I discovered these things about Luther, about Calvin. And I did not lose my admiration, but I became more realistic. But my admiration really is for the graciousness of God. Na God, in His graciousness, used such men. And if He could use such men, then He continues to use such men and women in our day. The glory should be to our gracious God. And with that, let's close in prayer. Nagpapasalamat kami, dakila naming Diyos at Ama, sa larawan ng iyong biyaya, kung paano mong kinasangkapan ang mga reformers sa kanilang kapanahunan. Tulungan mo kami na sa pamagitan ng pagkakaalam ng kanilang mga kamalian ay matuto kami at maiwasan namin ang mga kamalian na yon, as we were reminded of the often coarse and foul language that emanated from Martin Luther's lips. What greater usefulness he could have had if he had been more gentle. And yet, we are not here to condemn him, but rather to admire your graciousness, and at the same time to learn that we in our time should be watchful of our language, that even when we contend for the truth, we must be gentle, we must be meek. At tulungan mong Panginoon na matutuhan namin ang mga bagay na ito maging ang pagiging katiwala sa aming pangangatawan. Tulungan mo rin matutuhan namin ito, at huwag hayaan na sa aming sigasig ay mapabayaan namin ang pahinga at pagkaasikaso ng nararapat para sa aming pangangatawan, upang patuloy mo pa kaming kasangkapanin. May our study of the mistakes of the Reformation lead us both to continue to admire the men you have used despite their frailties. Be realistic that we are not to put our trust in men whose arms are flesh, but rather that we would see the graciousness of our God and admire you, worship you, for you continue to be the gracious God to us, and may you continue to use us despite our frailties. We give you back the praise and the honor for all of this, and be with us now in our lunch fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.